This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the School of Influence podcast. And today we have no shortage of a major influencer in the marketing and innovation strategy. This is a friend of Neil's, and I'm really, really excited for this conversation today. So I am going to let Neil make the formal introduction.
Hey, everybody. So today's guest, Carla Johnson, is someone that serendipitously and this is sort of how it works. You're probably wondering, you know, Neil, Amanda, how do you get to do what you do? How do you find opportunities? And it was a speech I made at Social Media Marketing World that after I was done, you know, you get a line of people introducing themselves. And there was a marketer there from a company called Motorola Solutions, a subsidiary of Motorola, who said, hey, we're having an event. I believe it was Schaumburg, Illinois, right outside of Chicago. We'd love to have you speak there. So, you know, after I'm done speaking, in the audience is no other than Carla Johnson. She herself a marketing author. I mean, she's an author of a number of books, and I think we'll get into that today, as well as Dan Gingis, the master of customer experience. And both of them have become really good friends over time. So, I'm really excited to introduce Carla. Now, today, and I'll let Carla introduce what she's been working on, but I just want to start because she was kind enough to send me this in the mail. And I think, you know, I'll summarize what we're going to talk about today, Carla. Innovation isn't about complicated processes or complex theories. It's a simple process of learning how to connect the dots. Carla, welcome to the School of Influence podcast.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you, Amanda. It's great to be here today.
So, Carla, what have you been working on lately?
Oh, gosh, that little tangerine box you have in your hand, Neil. You are the multiple published author as well. You know the routines and everything that goes on between when you turn in that final manuscript and when it goes out into the world, and actually often, you know, quite a bit of time after it's released into the world. And I think that's one of the most fun things for me. And I know that you've seen that too, is something you work on for so long and really put your heart into, and a message that you want to get out there and to influence how people think about whatever you're writing about, and then to watch people start to have their reactions and a lot of kind of closed eyes and clenched knuckles and crossed fingers. But I think that's the beauty of the kind of work that we do, and being able to influence people is to really understand the need that you're fulfilling, and not just like in this case, writing a book to write a book, but writing a book to really influence how people think about a particular subject and what their role is in it.
So you didn't, I was teeing you up to actually say, you know, the name of the book, but Carla has been busy. For those of you that listen to Maximize Your Social Influence podcast, I interviewed you about 6 months ago where we were talking about innovation, and that's now a book that by the time this podcast publishes, you'll actually be able to buy, Rethink Innovation, the book that teaches you the 5-step framework to connect the dots, come up with the ideas, find the opportunities in any market for any business and under any condition. That's a really powerful statement. I guess, you know, we want to move into the relationship between innovation and influence, but where did, you know, innovation, it's one of these timeless evergreen concepts. And I know you as a B2B marketer. I mean, I know you've done fiction and other stuff as well, but what drove you into this direction of innovation and why you think it's the most necessary thing today for businesses?
One of the things that I consistently heard over the last couple of years is people would say, I could never come up with an idea like that. I'm just not creative. I'm not an innovative thinker. And they would talk themselves out of being able to do this very thing, connect the dots, and being able to come up with these great ideas that I think we all are very natural at since childhood. And that's why I wanted people to literally rethink innovation, how we define it, our mindset around it, who's involved, our responsibilities with it. And I think particularly with marketers right now, we have to look at our ability to influence through innovative ideas, because marketers are the only ones that touch every single part of the business consistently throughout the work that we do. And if we're going to be able to innovate and bring in those ideas and be that voice of the customer, we can only do it if we're able to develop our influence.
I love that. I'm just curious what your background has been up until, so I don't have, just to give a little bit of context of how you got into the space of innovation and storytelling. Was it from one of these things Neil and I do is we try not to look at, if I don't know the other speaker, if he doesn't know mine, I try not to look at too much background until after I talk to them, just try to take it from some of the audience's viewpoint. So I don't personally know sort of your whole backstory. Where did you come from a marketing background or from a sales?
Yeah, actually I didn't. And that's a little bit of how I've been able to connect the dots and what I've done and what I've learned to get to where I am today. So I actually started out in university as an electrical engineering major for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I come from a family of very left-brain thinkers, PhD engineers, lawyers, military people, software engineers, things like that. I'm the youngest of five. So for me, I thought, well, this is what everybody else in my family does, so I probably should too. And 2 years in, I realized I was way too right-brained and not interested in spending that much time in the college library on a beautiful Saturday afternoon to have that be my profession. I ended up with a master's in history because what I found is that I kept gravitating toward the storytelling. And it was that combination, though, of being able to do all the detailed engineering things. I mean, I learned how to draft. I learned all the basics of circuits and things like that. And then I was able to overlay this ability to tell a story with it. And my first big job that I got out of college was working for architecture firms. And I worked pretty closely with design architects. So it worked really well, that right brain, left brain education. And then that's also what's very necessary in working with architects. Because one of the things that they do is that they say, as they go into design a space, how do we want people to feel when they're in the space? Is it calm? Is it quiet? Is it reflective? Is it energized, passionate, excited? And then they say, in order to evoke this emotion, what do we actually need to create physically for the experience? And then they reverse engineer it into the work that they do. And for me, that just was very, very natural as a marketer. And I ended up getting into marketing because I've always been a natural writer. I have that technical side of the brain. And then I also have the storytelling ability from history. And then to be able to craft the experience of a brand from a marketing perspective, it just really made easy sense and in good sense. And so as I went throughout my career from architecture and engineering, I moved into telecom. And actually 20 years ago this month, this is also a big thing I'm celebrating, I left my last corporate job to start my own company. And how I've been able to connect the dots with my experience and what I do, a lot of it is around that idea of designing experiences, creating these story-driven experiences, and being able to innovate what actually is delivered and how we think of the work that we do and the experiences that we deliver from a completely different point of view. And bringing it full circle back into architecture, one of the things that architects are so great at is looking at other cultures, other periods of time, you know, stories, whatever, mythology, things like that. And being able to tap into different elements from that and incorporate it into a design that really, you know, tells a story. And so having that deep-rooted experience of how people literally connect the dots to create something tangible has been such a formative part of, you know, not just marketing, but now shifting into more innovation-driven work.
That's really exciting. I mean, it almost is a new play on influence. I think a lot of people, a lot of the guests that we've had a lot of us in marketing, you know, influence often is tied to having a platform, having content, you know, getting out there in digital forms of content. Whereas you're saying start with innovating ideas, experiences.
Yeah.
And that can yield. And I'm just thinking it's funny because we just interviewed Joe Polizzi. And he's like, you know, we could target with the tilt. We could target all these different keywords, but everyone's already done that. We need to do something new if we really want to rise above. And we came up with the keyword content entrepreneur, just as an example, right, of his own innovative thinking to try to really define what the next keyword is. And it almost sounds like, and I know that you know Joe pretty well as well,
yeah,
that he's almost following the roadmap. But how, for the business leaders that are listening and the marketing leaders that are listening to this podcast, what are sort of the first steps you would recommend that they do? Obviously, they should first buy your book and read it, but where do they go from there?
Of course. Well, you know, and I think Joe is a great example of how to rethink innovation and the five-step process, the perpetual innovation process that I came up with and teach people how to do. And if we go back to his first idea for the Content Marketing Institute, you know, he was working on the brand side of a publishing company, and he had this idea of, you know, what if we didn't have to depend on media? What if brands became the publishers? And so what he did is he was able to stop and observe what's going on in the media world, how things are working, and start to identify opportunities. So from his observations, he started to distill that into patterns. He could see what was starting to shift in business, and particularly with the advent of the internet, social media. You know, we didn't necessarily have to rely on traditional media and publishing to get our stories out, to get people to read our content. So then he took those patterns that he saw, and then he started to relate it into his own work when he was at the publisher and said, you know, how about if we tried, you know, started to do something like this or tested this out or did that? And he didn't get any traction. So it's not that he didn't have influence in that way. It's just that the environment that he needed to be able to influence the large industry that he ended up doing by creating the Content Marketing Institute generated, which is the fourth step of the process, you know, generated the idea for a whole new business, which was the Content Marketing Institute. And then when he went to pitch it, it was a very easy sell. And he was able to use his influence because he was able to show how this business model worked in a different situation, understand why. And I think that's the big part of distill and relating, is that it's not about copying and pasting something that's working someplace else. It's to be able to connect the dots and tell the story of why that idea worked there, the essence behind what made it work, and to be able to transplant those characteristics into your idea. And when you can create a roadmap for your idea and connect the dots between how and where did it work successfully in another environment and how you've seen it being adjusted and relatable into your current situation in your business environment, that's really when you start to create influence, because you are painting the picture and bridging this gap that most people who are trying to do something really new and different and unique aren't able to do. And I think, I mean, we all know Joe has been a master at that with content marketing and things. And I have no doubt he'll just continue to do the same with the tilt and the idea of the content entrepreneur.
So when you say, you know, connect the dots, I always think of that Steve Jobs graduation speech. And that's been extremely influential to myself. Is innovation, for those that are listening, is innovation limited to our past experiences?
No, but I think the more dots that you collect in life, the more experiences you have, the more diversity in the people that you talk to, diversity in the kind of books that you read, movies you watch, places that you travel to, those are all things that, you know, go into your mind and your mind stores them. And then so when you go to connect the dots, the more dots that you have to connect, the more patterns that you're able to develop and the more experiences a person has, the richer type of innovator that they are. And I know that Steve Jobs' quote about, you know, it, in hindsight, it's really, you can see how the dots are connected. But what I've been able to see is that these really successful innovators who are very influential, they're able to connect the dots in real time without even realizing it. And that's what I did with the five-step process, is to be able to really break down how do we connect the dots, because it sounds simple to do, right, Neil and Amanda? Oh, it's easy. Let's just connect the dots. But it's a skill that we have been rewarded to not do. And it's been taught out of us because kids, they can connect the dots between anything all day long. But it's not what we learn in school. It's not what we see in university. And it's also not what's rewarded in a typical culture and of a company culture.
This is a very interesting take on influence as well, because I think how you're talking about connecting the dots, I almost think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it's almost like taking all the experience that you have and using it to build your differentiation and how you stand out. And it's interesting because we've talked a lot about how partner, and I've seen that you've done a lot of them as well, which is building influence by association, right? By partnering with different people and brands and companies. But also I like this concept of, it's not just, because there's twofold. It's one, it's who you align with, the brands and partners that and whatnot, which are experiences as well, but also all the things that you've done that kind of like add feathers to your cap.
Absolutely. Collecting those. And I think especially as a leader and an influencer, one of the things that you have to bring forward is a rich and diverse life. And I believe that that is something that creates a lot of influence. I think about marketers like David Meerman Scott and all the different kind of things that he's done, you know, of course, marketing and of course, understanding the internet and social media, but you know, he's also a big Grateful Dead fan. He's a surfer. You know, he has all of these different interests. And that's why when he writes a book about something like marketing the moon, he has a lot of influence because we understand he has a lot of diversity in his own interests and his own experiences. And he has all of these dots that can connect that help us make sense of things.
It's almost a double-edged sword, though. And I'm curious how you solve this because I've struggled with this myself in that when you do have a lot of different layers and sides of yourself that do different things, people can get confused as what is, so what do you do? What is the brand? And how do you kind of solve that confusion around like, okay, so what is it that you do? You wear like, you do this, you do that. You do that. I'm not really clear.
And the important thing that's missing with that kind of a person in order for them to have true influence is that they have to go back and they have to look at what's the story that's the through line in everything that they've done. So for me, you know, I started out as an engineering student. I have a degree in business and history, a master's in history. I've worked in marketing. I've done storytelling. I've traveled a lot. You know, I've done a lot of different things. Personally, we've lived in different countries. I like to cook and I teach and all these things. And what I realized in looking at everything that I do is at the root essence, what I do is I teach people how to rethink the work that they do and the impact that they can have. So then I can go back through all of my work experience, personal experience, and things like that and have proof points that that's what I do. And so when I work with a client and they say, how can you help us? And I start to dig in and understand their problem and their pain and what they'd like to see happen. That's what I understand that I do is I help people rethink the work that they do and the impact that they can have. And we've seen this so much in marketing the last, you know, 10 years, 20 years, is that we have to rethink the work that we do as marketers. And it's not just about doing events. It's not just about doing brochures and trade shows. We have to rethink the work that we do because we are now the voice of the customer. We're creating, actually designing experiences for customers. We're developing the user experience of the brand, not just the products and services that we do, that we sell. And that's a very different impact that we can have as a marketer. And once I realized that little bit of clarity, all of a sudden, these what seemed like random dots of experiences that I had all had great context. And bam, all of a sudden, my influence escalated just immediately.
I love that.
Yeah. You know, and it was interesting. It was something I heard Captain Kirk talk about. He was at a conference and somebody asked him, they said, you know, you've done Star Trek, you've done all these different TV shows, you do movies, you do these ads. What's the one thing that makes you tick? And William Shatner said, well, the thing is that I've always done things that I felt pushed me creatively and that I would actually enjoy. And he said, if you pursue things, you know, jobs, opportunities, passions with that kind of a mindset, you'll always be able to find that through line. And it was his comment about that, that helped me really discover that for myself.
So Carla, you're the, let's say CEO or CMO of a huge enterprise. would you have innovation days, innovation time off, or is this something that is just constant training, constant reminder to include as part? How would you, from an organizational perspective, in an ideal world, how would you want to instill this in the organization?
You know, the first thing that I would do to really root it in an organization is make sure that you've defined your brand purpose. And that goes above all other, you know, brand platform, brand messaging. This is the thing that defines everything that the company does. And once you have that brand purpose, your focus on what needs to be done becomes so clear. And that's the first thing that has to happen, is clarity for innovation to take place, so that everybody knows, why do you, you know, sit at your desk, turn on your video camera, show up to the office? Like, why are you there every single day? And then from purpose, the next thing to do is create the values that instill a mindset and a culture of innovation. Now, I know that you've seen a ton of companies that have innovation as a value, but the difference is that innovation is an outcome of behaviors and mindsets. And so just to say, hey, we're innovative. One, I can guarantee you, especially as a big enterprise company, there's not a common definition of what innovation is, looks like, means across the company. So start to define innovation in your company. What is it? And then what are the values and behaviors that will in turn result in innovation? And then start to hire, fire, reward, and reprimand based on those values. So those are the platform things to create a true culture that facilitates innovation. Now, from there, it's a combination of both things that you mentioned, Neil, is that you have to give publicity and a public forum for innovation to happen. It can't just be something that only a, you know, product research and development group, something like that, is allowed to do. In fact, 90% of innovation happens outside of a traditional product or service line group or team within a company. So the big advantage here is, let's focus on the other 90% of the business that has this big opportunity. One, make it something public that they can either watch, participate in, promote, you know, learn how to do, and set up the environment so that people can be a part of it. Park Mobile does this twice a year. They take an entire week off. Everybody in the company, it's a week off for Innovation Week, and that's what they focus on. Now, that doesn't mean everybody is focusing on writing software or developing products. Sometimes people are contributing by, hey, let's understand how to tell the story of this idea. Let's do a better job on the presentation. Let's figure out the finances behind this and how it could actually work. And then the other thing is teaching everybody in the company the skill of how to come up with a great idea. And I know I see executives kind of like roll their eyes or get a little panic and anxious driven when I talk about everybody's an innovator. But the reason that happens is because they imagine this unherdable herd of cats who are all willy-nilly coming up with ideas. But just like I show in my book, it's about process and focusing the energy of those ideas, you know, having that brand purpose, having the values of where innovation stands in a company, having clear objectives that have an impact on the business, and then using a process to come up with ideas that are directed toward those objectives. That helps get rid of all of that herding cats. But you can't expect a traditional innovation and R&D company to be really successful. It doesn't matter how influential they are if they can't get their products and ideas through the other 90% of the company and out the door to monetization.
So our marketers, obviously, I mean, innovation throughout the company, but I guess if we're going to start with one department, let's first get marketers on board.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with marketers, I think there's a huge opportunity right now with understanding the changing dynamics of what customers need. You know, you can do innovation tournaments, innovation activities with customers. You can bring them, you know, into your team, into your fold. And I guarantee you this is that you will hear and learn things about your customer that you have never, ever heard before. And it ends up being a powerful experience, not only for customers, but for the marketers, because I've facilitated these kind of meetings and workshops before that involve both customers and the marketers. And both sides walk away saying, I have a completely different view about what can be done in our relationship that I never had before. And I think that's one of those things that gets us excited as marketers to be able to wake up and do every day.
So I see a natural overlap there with customer experience, but also I think of influencer marketing and more companies creating their own networks of influencers that they work with over time that are also customers, you know, brand advocates. So I see the natural sort of alignment there of what you say and what organizations should be doing.
Absolutely. And it's you know, if you work with big name influencers in an industry, that's amazing. That's your big, you know, anchor for what you do. But to be able to have, you know, people who do this every single day look up to those influencers and hear that message and then also have that same experience, that's just a whole other layer to the influence that you have as a marketer.
And then when it's tied to the brand value, it's exponential.
Exactly. And then it's a consistent experience anywhere somebody externally experiences the brand as a customer or prospect, but also it's consistent in consistency internally with employees. And if your employees don't have a consistent experience internal to the brand, you're never going to have the true influence as a brand externally to the market, to your customers, to whoever. Because there's too many like points of vulnerability to prove that whatever you're saying isn't actually the case.
Yeah, I think we speak the same language, and almost it sounds like you're talking about you have to start internally with the company infrastructure, the ecosystem to build the culture. You can't mandate a culture of innovation or influence, but having to build kind of like build the infrastructure of the house before you put the house on the land.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a company is no different than you think about the personality of a friend or somebody you're getting to know. If you have a friend who you don't really know what they stand for, anything you bring up, they say, yeah, I'm interested in that too. Oh, mountain biking, love it. Cooking, love it. Travel, love it. Needlepoint, you know, who wants that friend who is just like all over the place and you never know who they're going to be. But when you have those people who are really anchored and grounded, and they know what they stand for and they know what they're where they're headed, that's an incredibly magnetic kind of person to be. And the same holds true for a brand. So you have to understand who you are internally and then go out, because that determines how you identify your customers. And then you're much more influential with those customers and understanding how you can serve them than you are if you're trying to serve everybody.
This has been amazing advice, Carla. Time went by really, really quickly. There's a lot to unpack here. I think this is going to be one of the episodes where listeners are going to want to go back and listen again and again. So thank you so much for your time. Obviously, everybody listening should, hopefully you already have a copy of Rethink Innovation in your hand. If not, make sure you buy a copy. Carla, where else can people go to find out more about you and what you're doing?
My website is carlajohnson.co. There's no M at CO like Colorado. And if you've bought a copy of Rethink Innovation, you can go to carlajohnson.co/rethinkbonus. And there are some bonuses there for you to enjoy.
Thank you so much.
Nice. Thank you so much, Carla.
Thank you. It was a delight to be here. Thank you both.
I look forward to seeing what innovation has in store for us after everybody reads your book. So definitely we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.